Hey Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yeah, this I just chanted Mangalacharan. Sometimes mispronounced as Mangalacharan, which means auspicious feet, but that's not the meaning. Mangalacharan is an auspicious invocation before speaking, or can be for before other activities at the beginning of a written work is usually Mangalacharan. Two of the verses out of the, four if we include the Hare Krishna mantra, so three of them would be familiar with most of you. One of them maybe not, although it is this Nama Shrestham verse, which is fairly well known among those devotees of our Gaudiya Sampradaya who are particularly interested in studying Shastra. So I chant this regularly in Mangalacharan as the Nectar of Devotions, Srila Prabhupada states that devotees may choose some verses of praise to chant. This Vandeham Sri Guru, this is the all the great personalities we offer obeisance to in this one short prayer, one verse. And this Nama Shrestham verse, it is by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, in which he praises his guru, direct personal guru on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was Swarup Damoda. He praises him for having given him so many things. He's given him, or by his mercy, by his great mercy, Pratita Kripa, the very great mercy of his guru, he's received so many things, and he, tam nato smi, I bow down to the guru who has given, and he lists some of the gifts that he has received. The best name, holy names, the best mantra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he received. I mean, we are hoping to receive such gifts, but he actually got the direct association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I just indicated there, he ordered Raghunath Das, you take guidance from Swarup Damodar, don't come to me directly for everything. Although Swarup Damodar is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dvitiya swarup, second form, practically non-different. So he prays that Nama Shrestha Manupi Shakti Putram Atrasrupa. I also got Swarup. He got Shakti Putra, means the son of Shakti Devi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Swarup, Swarup Damodar. Rupam, Rupa Goswami, and his elder brother, Tasyagrajam, and this great place, Mathura, because he was living in Mathura, Raghunath Das Goswami, and living in Mathura, Goshtavatim, the place of the cows, Vrindavan, Dham, and specifically Raghunath Das Goswami was living at Radha Kund, and which is at Govardhan, Govardhan. So I got all these, he says. And most wonderfully, Radhika Madhavasham, the aspiration to serve Radhika and Madhava. So this is a very high aspiration to attain all these things. But is it too high? No. It's maybe too high for our present level of practice, but this is our aspiration. And brings us, the prayer brings us back to our practical situation here and now, that we are simply praying for the mercy of Guru to achieve all of this. The reality of our dependence on Guru, which doesn't change. Raghunath Das Goswami is Prayojana Acharya. He's the Acharya of the various followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many of them. In the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they performed various services, and particularly Raghunath Das Goswami has demonstrated or revealed the highest truths, highest level of spiritual attainment. But he also feels completely dependent on his guru in that situation also. So everyone, everywhere, yeah, feels that I'm dependent on the mercy of others. And mercy ultimately comes from Krishna. We say his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. So his divine grace means that he's receiving mercy from Krishna. Krishna Kripa Srimurti in Hindi. His divine grace that's given us, Krishna Kripa Srimurti, the very form of Krishna's mercy. So this prayer takes us to the highest level, reminds us of where we're supposed to be heading. We're chanting Hare Krishna. Where are we going? What are we doing? We talk, we aspire for Krishna praying, but that Krishna praying, that is, what are the factors in that? That means service to all the devotees, service to the acharyas, and always knowing ourselves to be subservient to them. So this is a very high-level prayer, but at the same time it's rooted in our dependence to Guru, not that we're just jumping up and announcing our presence in Vrindavan, but aspiring to serve and in this way be taken into that land of Vrindavan. Of course, there's a long way to go. That Bishoy Charya Kobe Shuddha Hobe Man Tobe Hama Heribo Sri Vrindavan. The Narottam Das, he gives us the clue how to enter Vrindavan, that when we have completely rejected all aspirations for material sense enjoyment, and the mind is completely pure, then we may have the opportunity to actually see Vrindavan. So this is the highest point that Raghunath Das and all the Gauriya Acharyas are pointing us toward. At various places in Shastra, we find it is mentioned, what is the highest? What is the highest level? And there are different schools of Vedic philosophy, and within the Vedic culture, there are different schools of philosophy. Actual Vedic philosophy is Vaidaishya Sarvairahameva Vedyaha, to know Krishna. But within the Vedic culture, there are various schools with various goals of life. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami, Shakaliya Shanta. In the karmis, they're interested. Their goal of life is to enjoy this material world, and for them, the highest may be to the position of Indra. Those who desire liberation from this world, their highest goal is to actually imaginarily merge into the oneness. The yogis, they desire their perfection. Siddhi is to attain yoga siddhis, the ability to do all kinds of things like getting something from a long way away just by desiring it, or becoming very light, or becoming very heavy, or becoming very small, or becoming very big, all on the material platform. But in Krishna consciousness, our aim is to be to attain the position of the servant of the servant, of the servant, so many times removed, of Krishna. So in various places in Shastra and in various Shastras, there are different statements about what is the highest knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, after Krishna has discussed karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti, and related topics, just at the end, he says, sarva guhyatamam bhuya shunume paramam vachaha. Now I'm going to tell you the paramam. Param means highest, and paramam means highest of the highest. Just listen, he tells Arjuna. Now I'm going to tell you the most confidential knowledge, the highest of the highest knowledge. And what is that? Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru. To be a devotee of Krishna, to bow down to Krishna, to be his devotee, to worship him, to always think of him. That comes first. Always think of me. Krishna says. So that's the highest. We may say, well, that's Bhagavad Gita, then you have to go into Bhagavatam, yeah? But still it's the highest. Just like chanting Hare Krishna, that can be done in the most primary stage, when one has, even without having any particular motive to serve Krishna. So at the very lowest stage of spiritual life, and at the highest stage of spiritual life also, chanting Hare Krishna is there. There's the difference between, one major difference between karma, jnana, and yoga, these three, and bhakti. As in karma, jnana, and yoga, the means and the end are different. One performs karma, Vedic, pious activities, and then one, having performed them, one gets material enjoyment. One, in jnana, one studies the Vedas, especially the Upanishads, performs austerities with the idea of merging into impersonal Brahman, and then you merge into impersonal Brahman. Then no more Veda study. And Siddhi, you perform so many austerities, and then yoga performance, and then get various perfections. But in bhakti, the means and the end are the same. Chanting Hare Krishna is the means to attain perfection. And what is the perfection? Okay, good. You got it. As Srila Prabhupada was once asked, what do you get from chanting, Hare, from all this chanting? Prabhupada said, more chanting. So that's the most confidential part of knowledge that Krishna told to Arjuna in terms of spiritual knowledge. Of course, there were many other confidential things he told him on the battlefield and elsewhere related to fighting. Then in Srimad Bhagavatam, in what is practically the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam's instruction on Tattva Gyan, knowledge of the categories of reality, it's from the second canto, the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. it's still practically the beginning of the categories of the tattva. So Krishna speaks these points, ahameva, sameva, I existed before anything else existed. When everything ceases to exist, I will continue to exist. And ritetam yat pratiyeta. What is reality? What is non-reality? This non-reality, what we think of as reality in this world, it's simply a reflection in the darkness of the actual reality. So Krishna speaks all these things. In brief, the knowledge of the science of God, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, he speaks in a nutshell. Then he says, Etavade Vijnasam Tattva Jignasunatmana Anvaya Vyatirekabhyam. Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. In other words, this is the highest truth. It is always the highest truth. Everywhere you go, if you go to the other side of the universe, it'll still be the highest truth. If you go back in time, trillions of years, or forward in time, trillions of years, it will still be the same absolute truth. So this is, one must seek this up to this point. This is it. This is the highest knowledge. And by saying this, etavat, up to this point, eva jignyasa, one should inquire up to this point. This is brahma jignyasa, inquiry about the absolute truth. This is as high as it goes. But still we find in Bhagavatam so much more unfolds. Bhagavatam begins, janmadyasi yataha. The absolute truth is the source of all emanations. So that is the answer to the inquiry, atato brahma jignasa. One should inquire into the nature of what is Brahma, what is that great, what is that which is great. So that is the reply. So Bhagavatam gives that reply that the Brahma is Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. But there's more to be understood about Krishna than simply his greatness. He is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He is the very form of all rasa, nectarian rasa. So that is the subject matter that unfolds gradually throughout Bhagavatam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us entrance to the inner secrets of Bhagavata that previous acharyas, they did not reveal. The secrets by which Raghunath Das Goswami is aspiring for the service of Radhika and Madhava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu excavated this from Srimad Bhagavatam. What are the feelings of the gopis for Krishna, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to deliver this. So Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to go from Gita, not exactly, when we say we go from Gita to Bhagavatam, that might give the idea of leaving Bhagavad Gita behind. That's the peculiarity of the English language in saying it like that. But going from doesn't mean in spiritual life, if we go from Gita to Bhagavatam, doesn't mean that we leave the Gita behind. But in Bhagavatam, to enter into the topics of Bhagavatam, we have to go through the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada, embarking on his monumental translation of the with commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had so much work to do, 18,000 verses to comment on. But still, before doing so, he gave a sketch of the pastimes and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he included at the beginning of his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, because going through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or by his mercy, we can understand Bhagavatam as Krishna understands it. There are so many ways to understand Bhagavatam, or even every word in Bhagavatam, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that Krishna tulla bhagavat bibhu sarvashray prati shloke prati akkare nana artha koi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Srimad Bhagavatam is just like Krishna. It's all powerful, can give shelter to all. In every verse, in every syllable, there are so many meanings pregnant with me, so many understandings. Can, of course, all of them converge in Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still, there are various levels by which it can be understood. And how Krishna understands. He comes as Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to point out that in the Bhagavatam, what's to be found is Radhika Madhavasha, pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Even though Radha is not directly mentioned in the Bhagavatam at all, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as his followers detected, he came particularly for this purpose, that Radhar Mohima Prema Rasa Shima Jagate Janatoke. He came particularly to let the world know what are the glories of Radha. So that's in Bhagavatam, but that's to be discovered through Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are various biographies, but Chaitanya Charitamrita, particularly from the very beginning, gives us the key to enter the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as was revealed by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. What was in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart? Swarup Damodaranyu. He didn't tell anyone. Rupa Goswami knew, he told everyone. But not everyone can appreciate. Who can appreciate? Vishoicharya, Shairoshe Manjiya. Those who have given up the sense gratification, who are fully given themselves to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So such people can understand. So Chaitanya Charitamrita brings us higher to the heart of Krishna, the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His Anya Hridayamon Moramon Vrindavan, he says that other people, their heart and their mind is the same, but my mind is in Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived in Puri, but his heart, his mind was in Vrindavan. But even Chaitanya Charitamrita, that gives some indication, because, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, also states that I'm only giving a digdarshan, just a little idea, because even one moment, any moment of the activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's attempted to give the 48 years, and especially after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order, 24 years, he's attempted to give an outline of that. But as he states himself, even one moment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, even Ananta Shesh, with his thousands of mouths in millions of years, couldn't even describe one moment of it. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita gives some idea. Ultimately, the invitation is there to enter in and experience ourselves. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his pastimes in Puri are relishing the feelings, especially of Radha pining for Krishna. And some idea introduction is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the subsequent acharya, they also, Rupa Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami himself, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they've all given writings which describe the pastimes of Vrindavan. Again, an overview, some idea is given. And Raghunath Das Goswami especially is known as the Prayojana Acharya because he's revealed in writing some aspects which they shouldn't be revealed in one sense. They shouldn't be revealed to the world. They're very intimate. But another consideration, if they're not revealed, then who will know? How will Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission be complete? So Raghunath Das Goswami, he, especially in some of his writings, he has revealed his heart that he aspires particularly for the service of Radha. In one verse he states, I'll read this, tavaiva asmi na jivami tvaya bina iti vigyaya devi tvam nayamam charanantikam. He's praying to Radha that you please take me, I'm yours, so take me to your lotus feet. Do you, knowing that I have nothing but you, that I can't live without you, you bring me to you. So this, I can't live without you, we hear that on the mundane sphere. It's a very long, long way away, perverted reflection of the devotees actually feeling, and not just feeling, but they, that is their existence, that they can't live, there's no meaning to their life without service to Radha and Krishna. So these are all very high topics. So we might feel this is beyond us. Where are we? that everyone can individually say, where are we? If we examine, is our heart Vrindavan? Have we given up all desires for sense gratification? Or are there so many nasty things within our heart that we individually can say? There are some doctors and nurses present here. They must have seen baby being born. And I haven't seen, at least in this lifetime, I never saw a human baby being born, but I saw on more than one occasion a calf being born from the cow. So when the calf comes out, it's not so sweet, actually. All covered in blood and all kinds of things, which the names you might know in the biology class, but doesn't look nice. Not very nice. The mother cow licks the calf and cleans that off, and maybe in the modern age the vet will come along and like that. So our situation in our spiritual life, it's something like that. We're just newly born practically. and we're covered by so many nasty things. But by the mother, by the care, loving affection of the mother, in this case the guru, then will not considering that, oh, so nasty, covered with blood and covered with lust and greed and material attachments and so many stupid ideas, but thinks, oh, there's my child, I have to nourish, and gives the milk, gives us, so we're nourished by instruction, by the care, who wants to remove all that, all those dirty things. So then when the dirty things are removed, then the calf looks very nice. And it very soon becomes, it can stand up, and it's a bull calf, starts running around and showing how strong he is. Still a little boy, but he likes to feel he's big and strong. And he gradually will be, if he's not taken away for slaughter, which usually happens, unfortunately. So that's our situation, that analogously, that we have the opportunity to become big and strong like the bull if we remain under the protection of the mother and take the milk from the mother, take nourishment in the form of taking instruction. So we have very good prospect. The young bull may be just small, but he has good prospect to become very big. Of course, a Vaishnava, it's only an analogy, because a Vaishnava doesn't want to be big, but can become nourished and healthy. At least we can say that much. So similarly, by the the cow, the female, female grows up, and then after some time of being nourished, then she also has her children, and she also gives nourishment. So in the same way, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we're all here today, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Although we are small and covered in various very ghastly looking things, we can become nice looking, clean, strong, nourished. We can go up and help others also. And it's our duty to do so. Those who have taken birth as a human, it's at least on the karmic platform, it's their duty to give birth to others. That's Grihastha Ashram is meant for that. Putrarthe Kriyate Bharya. One accepts a wife for the sake of having a son, at least one son. And one becomes a disciple in the Vaishnav Sampradaya, not simply for one's own nourishment, but one is expected to become spiritually nourished and pass on the gifts which he has received. As Srila Prabhupada wrote in one famous letter, having received news of many, many thousands of books being distributed in Los Angeles over the Christmas season, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter of appreciation and said that if you are grateful to me, it is naturally I'm paraphrasing, of course, that naturally the disciple feels grateful to the guru, but they cannot ever repay the debt to the guru, but still it's the duty to try to do so. So Srila Prabhupada wrote that you can try to repay that debt by preaching vigorously, as I am doing. He's simply in dakshina, in taking the recompense, what's exactly the word? Taking the gift from the disciple. Srila Prabhupada simply wanted them to take the gifts that he had given and pass them on to others. And Srila Prabhupada himself, among the verses that he most quoted from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jivesha Rupoi Krishna Nitya Das, that he quoted repeatedly. And another two verses he repeated, Jare Deko Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh Amaragyai Guru Hoya Tara Edesh. So most quoted that the exactly, I don't know which he quoted most, but definitely he quoted many, many times that the jiva, the living being, is internal servant of Krishna, and many, many times he quoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, wherever you go, whoever you see, tell them the instructions of Krishna on my order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, be a guru and deliver this land. Another verse which Srila Prabhupada quoted repeatedly, especially when in the presence of people from India, Bharata Bhumite Hoilo Manusha Janma Ja Janma Shartak Kari Karo Para Upaka. Those who have the great good fortune to have taken birth as a human in the land of India should make their life successful, which means by Krishna consciousness, and do good for others. Srila Prabhupada wanted all of his disciples, because he had many aspirations for his disciples. One of them is that he wanted them to be real brahmanas and gurus and have 10,000 disciples each. Sometimes I think we're in the ongoing history of ISKCON, which we are all part of, for better or for worse, we often see the worst side. And speaking objectively, it is not so wonderful. Many of the things regrettable. But if we seek causes, I sometimes think that if all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples had taken his mandate to be actual brahmanas and gurus and spread Krishna consciousness very widely at a high level, then that is the then we'd be, our movement would be going very nicely. Srila Prabhupada wanted that all his disciples be spiritual leaders, and then as he was, and then what does a spiritual leader do? He makes his own disciples spiritual leaders. And in this way, Krishna consciousness can spread very widely, as is stated, that Jare Deko Tare Koha. This verse was spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Kurama Brahmana. His name was Kurama. And is described there in that section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami describes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever he went, a similar kind of scene played out, that some local people would want to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Naturally, you want to join. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, you want to go with him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, stay here, you preach this message, you'll meet me again here, you won't be overcome by the material modes of nature. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, it was like this. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was making disciples, not officially initiating them, making gurus everywhere, and they would spread it widely. And in this way, the whole of South India became Krishna conscious. So the same principle. Everyone should become Krishna conscious and do good for others. At the same time, remembering that it's not a numbers game. We're not really in competition with the Christian preachers or Mormon preachers, or so many bogus gurus are there in Hinduism. We're not in competition with Muslims or the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. We're not in competition. It's not a numbers game to see who can get the most. But We're simply trying to bring people to revive their original Krishna consciousness, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, and ultimately to give them the aspiration that Raghunath Das Goswami has. So what are we going to do? Are we going to walk up to people on the street and tell them that, you want to join the Rasa Leela? Well, maybe. The first book I read of Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. I thought this is a very strange book because it's got all, not in a bad way, I didn't, but I thought it's very, because it has all these references to all kinds of things. I haven't got a clue what it is, and probably most of the readers don't either. I read through the whole book, and I thought it's a really good book, but I didn't understand much. I better go to the temple and find out. And that, folks, was the beginning of the end for me, the end of my incarceration in materialistic life, birth after birth. But that is the process that Srila Prabhupada gave. He actually is inviting everyone to, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited everyone to join Krishna's pastimes, so Srila Prabhupada is, by giving out books, by giving the holy name. It's all part of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. It's the same thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go out with his followers and chant Hare Krishna, and he would preach to them. What is that? Ebena bhajale jashoda shuddha charame paribelaji. If you don't worship Krishna, then you're going to fall down into a shameful position. So it's basic teachings. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would preach and give Harinam everywhere. So when we go on book distribution, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, or on Harinam, it's the same thing. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes going on. that is stated. What is that? Adhapiho jailila kore gaurarai kono kono bhagyavane deki bare pai. Even today, up to right now, up to the present time, all the pastimes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed, persons who are very fortunate can see them going on still. So how do we see them going on? Well, not just see, we can be part of that also. So when we're out and trying to bring people to Krishna consciousness, especially this process, Harinam, book distribution, festivals, we should know that Srila Prabhupada is with us. He's there, right there in his books, in his order to distribute the books. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. Raghunath Das Goswami is there. Vyasadeva is there in his books. Sukadeva is there. All the acharyas are there. They're there backing us up. We're very small, but we have very good protection, very good masters. So devotees can go and meet all kinds of people because they know that I'm protected by very good masters. So all of these great personalities, they're personalities of the spiritual world. They came to bring us to the spiritual world and to bring us, whoever wants to go can come. There's a process how to enter. And even those who don't want to go, there's a process to trying to awaken their desire, their natural desire, dormant desire, to love Krishna. So for that purpose, Srila Prabhupada worked so hard, translating his books, pushing the devotees to produce his books, distribute his books, just to give the knowledge of who we are and ultimately what is our highest aspiration. The devotees became very surprised when this nectar of instruction, Srila Prabhupada produced that. They thought, we'll just produce a few copies for the devotees. Prabhupada said, no, you print 10,000 and print more. Immediately they were sold, print more for public distribution. And he wanted Chaitanya Charitamrita distributed publicly. It may be very surprising. I remember once, many years ago, distributing a volume of Chaitanya Charitamrita to a businessman on Charing Cross Road in London. And I started speaking, I read from the flap that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was considered a prophet and this and that. And he interrupted me and said, "Well, isn't he the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" How did he know? He must have got one of his books before, one of Srila Prabhupada's books. Another anecdote I'll tell is from Baroda in Gujarat. And then there can be thousands, hundreds and thousands of such transcendental exchanges have taken place and are going on even now all over the world. One devotee told me he was distributing books door to door in Baroda in India. And someone said, "Oh, I don't want any books. I don't want any books. I don't believe in all these books. And all these, so many nonsense religious books." And the devotee felt very disappointed. He said, "Wait a minute, what's that book? Is that Prabhupada's book? Oh, yeah, I'll take that book. I don't want any other books." So by reading Prabhupada's books, he understood that all the other books are bogus. Of course, he could have got Vallabh Sampradaya books or whatever, but he understood so many cheating things are going on by Prabhupada's books. This, I've been going through Srila Prabhupada's conversations, transcripts again, and we find that Dr. Patel, if you've been through Prabhupada's conversations, you know Dr. Patel, and how Prabhupada was fighting with him and smashing him and calling him a rascal, and he didn't like this word rascal, and Prabhupada likes it. So again and again, and then there comes a point where Dr. Patel himself is saying, "Yes, all these rascals." So he understood. He understood that, as Prabhupada said, "Yeah, why, Dr. Patel, why are you calling them all? Well, you have to call them rascals. There's no other word for it. Huh? That's, if you don't call them rascals, then you're also." Actually, I don't remember Prabhupada directly saying that, but it just came to my mind. But how he understood, he was very challenging to Srila Prabhupada, but he kept on coming. And eventually he understood that anyone who, in the name of giving spiritual life or any benefit whatsoever, who doesn't give what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give, then they're simply rascals. Because they're cheating us. They're purporting to be our well-wisher. That's what people who cheat do, isn't it? They say, you take this oil, snake oil, and you take it and it'll cure all your diseases. People buy it, it doesn't cure all their diseases. He's cheating, they're offering you some benefit, but actually he just wants to get some money out of you and go. So he promises so many things, simply cheating. Politician, anyway, all, everyone, scientists, teachers, everyone. The teachers are there, I'm teaching the kids and doing good for them, but without Krishna consciousness, all useless. So, in those books, Srila Prabhupada said that by reading my books, you get in contact with all the acharyas, because actually Srila Prabhupada, he's the representative of all the acharyas, and he consulted all the acharyas' commentaries. Sarvadeva Maya Guru. The Guru is the representative of all the great saintly persons and demigods. They're all present in the person of Srila Prabhupada, and they're all present in his books. They're very powerful books. The message is powerful, it's delivered completely clearly by a completely pure devotee whose only aim is to benefit others, considering himself a very menial servant of all the previous acharyas. So the full message comes through very, very powerfully. Similarly, chanting the holy names, Golokera Premadhan Harinama Sankirtan. Bringing the whole spiritual, chanting Hare Krishna means the whole spiritual world is there. As much as we can appreciate that, Srila Prabhupada's books, the whole spiritual world is revealed as much as we can appreciate. But as we read and read and chant, then we begin to appreciate more and more and more that the whole spiritual world is present right here. Right here in this knowledge, these books, this holy name. So Srila Prabhupada is giving that through his books. He's giving us all the acharyas up to Raghunath Das, Rup, Sanatan, Raghunath Das. It's all there. Inviting us back to Godhead. All the acharyas come only for this purpose, to invite us to come up to that level. How high we'll go, let's see. We may not go up to that. We may stay with Hanuman, or maybe with the Pandavas. But that's also a completely perfect position. Everything, whatever our spiritual aspiration is, that can be completely fulfilled in the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who, of course, revealed the world of Vrindavan, but he also accepted devotees who are worshipping Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayana, although he had some joking argument with Venkata Bhatta, who is worshipping Narayana and Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. He didn't say, okay, now you give it all up and you come and be a Gauriya Vaishnava. His nephew, Gopal Bhatta, did. His brother, Prabodhananda, did. But he didn't. He went to Sri Rangam. He chanted Hare Krishna. He didn't tell everyone, you just desert the temple and go away. He accepted devotees. All devotees. They're all the devotees. They're all great personalities. So these are the gifts which we've received through disciplic succession. We're here to hear and chant about Krishna in the association of devotees, and that should give us more inspiration to try to bring others into devotional service. If we stick to this simple program, chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, discussing the teachings in Srila Prabhupada's books, simple program, very simple, very powerful, very straightforward. If we follow that, then we simply stick to this, then we're well protected. We're on the path back to Godhead. And we can bring others also into this very simple, very pleasing, very happy path. People may be surprised that you join this Hare Krishna movement. And what do? You get up in the morning, chant Hare Krishna, sing and dance. You come back 40 years later and see, what are they doing now? Where have they gone? What are they doing? They must have graduated. And the same thing, they're getting up early in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. But there's a difference in consciousness. Just to continue to do that means getting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to be able to go on in this whole big land of America. Everything's great in America, right? Everything's big. Big arrangement for sense gratification. No spiritual juice whatsoever. Completely empty, devoid. This is the Shunyavada. Complete nothing. There's no spiritual consciousness outside of the devotees. No idea. I mean, it's really even India today is still, they're doing their best to become like Americans. Still, they're not very successful. So that's that spiritual culture which is still there in India and here in America, empty, but it's big void, big, people are empty, there's no happiness in their lives. But this chanting of Hare Krishna can fill their lives. In a manner which is we can't imagine before coming to it. So yeah, let's stick to this Krishna consciousness again and again. We should come together, chant Hare Krishna, at least over this weekend. Come together, chant Hare Krishna. Tomorrow we're supposed to go out and chant Hare Krishna. It'll be something not seen in Charlotte, maybe ever previously. Previously there have been big Harinam parties, but that'll be something very special for them. Did you, Praveen Govind, you told all the newspaper people? Yeah, tell them. Get it on the TV, local TV. It's the biggest thing that ever happened in Charlotte. More important than, anyway, I don't want to insult the famous Christian preacher here. But yeah, it's great. And everywhere, all over the world. Srila Prabhupada, he spread this Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna and giving the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. And wonderful things happen. It can happen again. Why not? Can have whole of Charlotte chanting Hare Krishna. Why not? They're all humans. They can all sing and chant. Oh, it's possible. Think big. Srila Prabhupada says. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I'll finish that. My watch got buried under here. Ah, I'm not too late. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.